This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
I'm not a huge Beyonce fan.
I don't really know her music that much, except when I was a boy or something.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Shebrick with a pass left corner, had open three for the tie. Good! Wiley had knocked down a three!
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpup.
Pyle dribbling in and a one-handed jam! This place is rocking! And Pyle with 15 as he slams it down with authority!
Everything happening in the sports world.
Could be another one.
Here comes Jake with a left-handed jam! T-Boy, we're rolling here in Salina!
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
Steve has a great feel for Lifetime movies, despite 5 minutes ago saying, I don't know what Lifetime movies are.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing, another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM, KBBE, or for those of you listening online, worldwide, at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the most popular man in McPherson, the man in blue, maybe symbolizing the fact that he hasn't been able to play much golf these last 2 days, a little bit too much rain.
Oh, I got in around yesterday.
Well, I'm not surprised you
but
did.
But not today. Today and probably tomorrow, I got a feeling, is a no-go.
Well, we have been talking about it a few times that the football season is knocking on the door. It's right around the corner, and that means we've got Coach Pav in the studio.
You bet. You bet. In fact, I've already written pre-seeds on every single team in the area. The coaches really jumped on, you know, the information I sent out to them. They got it back. They're excited.
Means you're going to have to step your game up.
Well, I always wait and do us. And it's the last story I always do because I try to do it.
You're not a great communicator, though. You're pretty bad with the media, a little slow.
Don't say
much. A lot of coach speak.
We've got a lot of good area football, it looks like, this year. Smoky Valley, you know, coming off a 9-2 season, looks like they're going to be pretty good. They're really excited over at Canton Galva, where, you know, it was 3 years ago they had to forfeit a game because they didn't have eight players. Now they're looking at a squad of almost 30 without any seniors. They've had back-to-back great classes. Just got Inman's Lance Sawyer. He's all excited. He's got 18 starters back. Little River, if they can find a quarterback, they feel like they're going to be outstanding. So Mound Ridge going to eight-man this year. You got to think they've got some good athletes in the skill position. So, you know, area football looks good, and, of course, McPherson High football looks really good.
Well, you mentioned eight-man. That's not what the Bullpups were playing this weekend, but they were playing a little 7-on-7. And McPherson High football coach Chase Pavlovich, you're in with us here. We talked about it a little bit off the air about what happened this weekend up in Overland Park, Stillwell, at Blue Valley High School, as you guys were in a 7-on-7 tournament with really some great talent in the Kansas City area. The one thing I wanted to ask you is how much 7-on-7 has helped develop offenses and defenses, for that matter, over the last, like, 15 years, because it just feels like adding 7-on-7 in the summers is such a huge tool for helping in high school football.
It helps both sides, no question. You know, it's not real football. It's kind of like basketball on turf, and, you know, we're the first ones to admit that. You know, we want to go out and we want to win games. You know, we're competitive. We have egos. And we want to see how the kids can compete in that setting. But the bottom line is we want to get better at what we do. There's a lot of teams in 7-on-7 that will run, you know, for example, on defense, they'll run cover 2-man. And that would leave 5 guys in the tackle box. And if that happens, we're going to run the football all night. So, you know, we may lose a few games because we're not going to submit ourselves and just to win some 7-on-7 games. We want to get better across the board. But the 7-on-7 setup is really quite unique. It's a whole lot of fun to watch. Basically, you have 3 downs starting from the 40. You have 3 downs to get 15 yards. Then you have 3 downs to get 15 more yards. And then you have 3 downs to get 10 yards. And if you score, then you get 6 points and you have a choice to go for 1 or 2. If you go from the 5-yard line, that's an extra point. If you go from the 10, then you're going for two, and you get one chance at that, obviously. What I really like about it is defensively you can score as well. So if you get a turnover on downs, that's worth 2 points. And if you get an interception, that's worth 3. So if you do get an interception, it's ball is dead right there. We don't run the ball back or anything else. It's just worth 3 points. So with that scoring system and how it's set up, it really is pretty neat, and it gets highly competitive, and we get a lot of work in. You get 4 seconds to throw the football, and they always have a referee there in charge of the time clock. And really excited about what we did, really excited about our progression from early June to where we're at right now.
What was encouraging to me, your results, your results, but you are a smaller school going up against 5A and 6A for the most part. I don't know how many other small schools were there. I didn't see all the teams that were there, but I'm sure we were one of the smallest. But it looks like to me your guys were not intimidated at all by the bigger schools.
No, they. You know, we've been going to this Blue Valley 7-on-7 tournament for, I think this is our 14th year in a row now that we've been doing it. You know, in the past we've gone down to Hoover, Alabama, and through Louisiana and to Texas and so on and so forth. But what we found is we get some great competition just going into the Kansas City metro area. Yes, we were by far the smallest school at this tournament, and we always are, but we're always very competitive. Now, you know, our record 2-3, you know, it doesn't sound great, and obviously we wanted to do better, but we were literally 2 plays away from being 4-1, having a chance, another crack at Blue Valley North.
And you saw the school that was probably the best team in any class last year. Talk about that. Blue Valley North, I believe
correct.
It was.
Correct. Yeah, we ended up playing Blue Valley North. It was kind of tough. So we had 14 pools, and Blue Valley North was in the other pool. Well, we have one cross-pool game, and it just so happens that we draw Blue Valley North. But it's actually what we really wanted to do. We wanted to see the Graham Mertz kid, that quarterback signed with Wisconsin, was an Elite 11 quarterback. Reminded me so much of Tyler Matthews. Even looked like Tyler Matthews, walked like Tyler Matthews. They have some incredible skill kids, and we battled. You know, it wasn't like it was a blowout by any stretch of the imagination. Our kids came off the field and said, "My gosh, they've got some speed over there," and it was great for us to have to play at a high tempo like that, both offensively and defensively.
Well, and one thing about the 7-on-7, it actually highlights what will be the strength of your team this year, and that is your skill positions on offense. You are really loaded at the skill positions, and talk about some of the kids that really stepped up in your skill positions.
Well, you know, offensively across the board, everybody stepped up. We have high expectations for that group, and they didn't disappoint. One of the things that we really like is having a tailback that we can throw the football to out of the backfield, and we have that in Jace Kinneman. Kai Hoppus, you know, he just keeps on getting better and better and better. When we were at the Fort Hays camp, he turned some heads. You know, Fort Hays' quarterback coach was asking me about him. Down here at the 7-on-7 tournament, I gave him the freedom to make some change-ups, and if he didn't like what we had called, he had the freedom to adjust it, and he did make some great adjustments on the fly, put us in a great position to make plays. Chandler Wired as an outside receiver, Taylen Huff as an outside receiver, both just incredible athletes.
And the guy you said really was almost unstoppable, Gabe Hoover. Sounds like Gabe Hoover had a terrific weekend.
Gabe is he's got the potential to be one of the best we've ever had, and that's saying a lot for the history and tradition here at McPherson High School. So we're really excited about getting the ball to Gabe. He was double covered in some instances, but we were still able to get him the ball. You know, Kai threw a great ball, and Gabe was able to just. I don't think he's dropped a pass all summer long. And his catch radius is just monstrous with his vertical and his athleticism. So we're going to have to find ways. And we've done this in the past, but I will have a coach up in the box tallying the amount of touches that Gabe Hoover has in a game because it has to be at least 10.
And like you say, a back out of the backfield. Jace has great hands out of the backfield. I mean, you look at him and you know, you say, well, you think he has, well, he's got really soft hands. So You know, he just kind of looks the ball into his hands. And I know when he was younger, they used to run a play when he was in middle school. It seemed like he scored almost every time on that little flare out of the backfield or whatever it was. But it seemed like, you know, he gets one-on-one and he surprises people with his speed.
Well, he is, he's very deceptive with his speed. He's a big kid. You know, so obviously you don't think he can run very well and he's not very agile. But he is. Just watch him on the basketball floor. He gets it done out there too. So anyway, we're very happy with Cody Stufflebean. We hadn't anticipated on playing him a whole lot offensively, just because of how strong he is defensively, and he's got great size. But great hands too. We split him out, and you know he was able to make some incredible.
Well, he's
catches.
A matchup problem.
He really is.
I mean, he's 6'3", 6'4", can jump and fast. You know, he's just an athlete.
He is. You know, and offensively, across the board, we had some younger guys step in and do very well, too. Defensively is where we grew the most, and this is something that we have to continue to develop throughout the course of the season. You know, Mason Thrash at middle linebacker, he's a run stopper. There's no question he's going to stick his hat in anything that that an offense can give him. But I was impressed with his ability to move laterally and make some plays out in the open field. We ran through a bunch of Will linebackers, all a bunch of kids. We got three kids really right now that are competing for a spot. All of them, I thought, did pretty well. But again, when it comes down to real football, that's when we're going to need to make some decisions. Strong safety, Jake Houghton, ended up starting the entire time. Honesty had a prior commitment, which he had told me about a long time ago. And, you know, Jake's going to be a fine backup. With the anticipation that that's his job in the future, and we feel really good about that. What I was really impressed with was our corner play. We were actually missing two of our guys, Brandon Yowell and Zach Brewer, and we had two kids that didn't get a whole lot of reps and haven't received a whole lot of reps, but ended up taking advantage of their opportunity.
Yeah, talk about trial by fire.
you're going up against the best team in 6A, and I tell you what, these kids really competed. Jacob File, not a real tall kid, but I would put him up against anybody that we play next year, even with a deep fade, because Jake's going to compete and he's going to get it done, and he did at this tournament. So he took advantage of his opportunity. And I'm telling you, I'd feel completely comfortable with him on a Friday night. So now, in the absence of those other guys, these other guys step in, and that's what makes our program so special.
You're going to have competition in practice. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, I've always said, if you go into practice knowing you're going to be a starter, you don't really go all out in practice. But if you're fighting for a job, you know, that really pushes you in practice.
No question. We only had Aaron Powell, young sophomore kid, very athletic. He was able to compete. Early on, they completed some balls on him, some deep balls on him. But, the kid, he's learned to be a little bit more mentally tough and understand that, you know, you're not always going to have success. And there's some good people on the opposite side.
And he's a kid that can play a lot of different positions. I mean, he's kind of your, jack of all trades guy.
I'm really excited about his future. You know, he's another one. He took advantage of the opportunities, and I'm telling you, we're gonna have some tough decisions to make at the corner position, because these guys really took advantage of their opportunity very well. At safety, I really like Ty Gottwald at free. You know, he made some incredible plays out there. He's gaining confidence, which, you know, bottom line with him is that's all it is. He's got to believe in himself. The rest of us believe in him, but once he starts to really believe in himself and play fast and trust his eyes, he's going to be a phenomenal free safety, and we've had some good ones in the past, and I think he has the ability to fit that mold very well. Weak safety, obviously, Caleb Hoppus was very good.
And he's got an important role to play on this defense too, because we've talked about it a few times that the lack of returners that are coming on the defensive side, and he didn't get to start all year, but he played in some very big games with Honesty going down for a little stretch of the season. So even though you wouldn't look at him and say, well, he was a starter all year, he is essentially another returning starter.
Well, we treat him as such, and, you know, he's fit the leadership role pretty well in all of that. And, you know, the kid's very physical. You see him in the weight room, and he's a specimen in there. He's really taken off. Big, strong, physical kid that, You know, he understands our concepts, our schemes. We're going to rely on him a little bit offensively as well, just because we got to get our athletes on the field, and he's one that we really feel that that can get it done.
I'm sure there are some other years that you could think of going back and go, yeah, we had some skill guys on the offensive side that could have gone up to a tournament like this mm-hmm. and really played well. But there are probably not very many other years where you return quite as many that have this amount of experience. And I was telling Steve yesterday on the show, there are not very many programs throughout the entire state that return a first-team All-League quarterback, first-team All-League running back, a first-team All-League wide receiver, and then two other receivers that very well could have been.
Well, and probably should have been the other two guys, but...
you had about 80% of the first team, so well, I figured they'd give them a break.
Well, that and just to due to the bylaws of our league, I couldn't even nominate those guys. Mm-hmm. What I really like about our offensive skill positions is that we don't have a weak spot. In years past, we've had some dynamic players, but, you know...
Well, it kind of reminds me of 2010.
Yeah.
You had Tyler Matthews. Mm-hmm. You had, I think it was O'Connor and Davenport in the backfield. You had Olsaker, Gawanda, Hard at receiver. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was – and that team was – man, they were a point-a-minute offense. I think we averaged – in our wins, I think we were around 50 points a game that year, 48 mm-hmm. points a game. But that's what this year's team the potential of this year's skill players reminds me of.
We really do. And, you know, you mentioned that year. We were a lot of 21 personnel running – with a fullback and a tailback. You know, this year I anticipate we're going to be a lot of 10 personnel. So now we have four receivers that can threaten you vertically and will go into no backs and stretch you horizontally. And, you know, our concepts really are pretty simple in the passing game. When it comes down to real football, we'd rather throw short and then catch and run long, which we have the potential to do across the board. You know, in the past, a lot of times we've had to hide a receiver that the very, very skilled kid, tough kid, could count on him, but not real good in the catching game. We don't have that this year, so it's going to be exciting.
We've got McPherson High football coach Jace Pavlovich in studio this afternoon. I know that you tell me a lot and talk about your league and how strong it is, and especially in a year like last year with so many good teams that were deep and senior heavy. But when you get to go up to a 7-on-7 tournament and see the competition that you saw, and especially see some really good teams out of what is probably the best league in the state, the Eastern Kansas League. Mm-hmm. You saw Blue Valley and Blue Valley North. Mm-hmm. You saw St. James, who I think had one loss in league play last year. That's the same league with Bishop Miege, Mill Valley, St. Thomas Aquinas.
Yeah.
I mean, that league right now is so deep. And then plus you got to see a good Shawnee Heights team, who I think was 7-3 last year. Mm-hmm. It's just good to be exposed and be in the element and see these types of offenses, because that's some of the best football anywhere in this area right now.
And that's the experience we wanted, you know. The secret is out. When we go to this 7-on-7 tournament, people no longer look at us as country bumpkins that they're going to roll over, because the last 2 years prior to this one, we were in the championship game. And so we have a whole lot of respect statewide from what our kids have done in the past. And, you know, we step on the field against Blue Valley, who's a perennial powerhouse, and we're winning the football game on the very last play. The ball was tipped twice, and it fell into their hands. And, you know, that's one that we'd like to have back, because that would have been a really quality win for us. But the bottom line is, and I told the kids that, you know, it stinks to lose, but we're competitive with the best that the state has to offer. And, you know, that's really encouraging. And then, you know, you throw out Shawnee Heights, you know, in tournament play, we're tied and it would go into overtime. They score but don't get their extra points. So all we have to do is score, go for one, score, and win. Very first play from scrimmage, really felt like Gabe Hoover scored on it. They didn't call it a score, but we're on the inch-yard line, and we end up throwing a tipped ball interception. So, again, those are the two plays that I say that we can go back to. But I talked to the kids and said, listen, you know, this is what's going to make or break us as a team. Those two plays, there's nothing too small. No detail too small for us. And we get over the top. We make those plays like we have the past few years. then we're going to be a major contender in the West in 4A. And I would rather make mistakes like that in 7-on-7 in July than, you know,
then
look
week
back.
10.
Exactly. Then look back during the season and say, I wish I could have. But we learned the hard way, and we're moving on.
McPherson High football coach Jace Pavlovich in studio with us this afternoon. We got to take our first break. When we come back, we've talked a little bit about some of the skill position guys this past weekend, but we want to project a little bit more into the season and look at some of those positions, especially offensively. We'll do that next. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBVE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBVE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on this afternoon's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBVE, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell, and of course we get the royal treatment today with McPherson High football coach Jace Pavlovich. We have been recapping their 7-on-7 tournament up in the Kansas City area from this weekend, and we are, of course, getting closer and closer to football season, August 31st.
And practice is, what, 13th?
Mm-hmm. How many August days until 13th. August 31st? You got a reminder on your calendar, on
no,
your phone or anything?
No, we're just looking forward to tomorrow, getting together in the weight room and getting after it and making ourselves better, to be honest with you.
Well, as we look ahead to this fall, we talked a little bit about the depth chart, and especially on the offensive side, and how different this year is from an offensive standpoint. And we've probably beat it to a drum to look back at last year and say, look at all these guys that were returning on the defensive side. But look at the results that that type of experience and that type of talent was able to produce with a stretch of 7 or 8 weeks, first team defense, not allowing a touchdown. Mm-hmm. You kind of get the feeling that with this group offensively, they are going to put up some freaky numbers this year just because they have so much experience, they have so much chemistry together, and they're extremely skilled.
They are. Looking back a year ago today at this time, we were sitting in the coach's office not exactly sure what to expect offensively. With all the inexperience that we had on the offensive side, you know, in particular with our skill kids, it's a credit to those kids. It's a credit to their position coaches because, you know, game one last year at Buehler, all of our skill guys who had no varsity experience, they performed very well.
Gabe Hoover, a punt return touchdown. Taylen Huff had the touchdown before the break.
Wired.
94 yards. Yeah, and you put up 33 points against a Buehler team that had played, I think, in the state championship game and had almost every starter back on defense.
Yeah, and it's – so it's a credit to the overall program to get these kids developed, you know, as I said a year ago at this time. That's the position we're in on defense right now, and I don't anticipate any difference in the outcome. I would imagine we'd have complete and total success. Coach Harlan does a wonderful job on that side of the ball. But, you know, offensively, going back to it, you know, we figure out some things on the offensive line, which we really feel like we already we're already in the right direction. In terms of our team camps in June, I feel like we have an opportunity to be pretty special.
And you talk about that offensive line, Dawson Van Gotham, of course, the only returning starter. He's going to be one of the best linemen in 4A. But I think you got a pretty good idea on those other four on the interior, you know, the interior five, the center, the two guards, two tackles. Mm-hmm. But you had some kids kind of step up and really, you know, kind of claim those spots. At least they're going to be the front runner going into the first practice. They know it's their job to lose if they hold off the contenders for those jobs.
Well, and we've talked about it before that the competition breeds success. You know, if we have a kid that may feel like he's got the job, you know, the very next day he might find out otherwise, and that just breeds success across the board. You know, Noah Avila is one that comes to mind that the kid is just...
He's the kid that surprised me the most. It, just his mental approach to the game seems so much better. He really looks like a guy that's, hey, this is my senior year. You know, I want to step up. I want to be a big time contributor in my final year and go out with a bang.
Well, and he is. The kid, he's a big, strong, physical kid. He's really bought into the offensive line. He'll play our other tackle position. Those two guys together, Dawson and Noah, they're going to be very good bookend tackles for us. That, you know, it's a tough position to play because you got to be athletic enough to take on a much smaller, faster defensive end in the passing protection game. But at the same time, you got to be physically dominant, blocking down on a big, you know, interior defensive lineman. And those guys, they can really get it done. We really like the fact that we have a kid that got some valuable experience at center in Courtney Craig last year. Last season, he fit in, did a great job when we needed him to step in. He's just mean out there. And
he's a wrestler.
He is. He's that wrestler type that if you have a good center, then you're gonna be able to do some really good things. And actually, at the guard position, you know, we have three or four kids right now that we really like. But one that's he's just been Mr. you know, consistent all the way through is Shane Starkle. You know, he's a little bit undersized at the guard position, but we really like what he's been bringing to the table. Smart kid, physical kid, very good with his technique and footwork. You know, he's one of those kids that he can play any position on the offensive line. So if we have one guy go down, we can move him around and bring in our next best guy at whatever given position it might be.
And I know that we've talked a lot about the passing game, but I think the spot on the field and the part of the game that might benefit the most from the passing game is the running game. Because everybody is going to be so afraid of this passing offense that they might not account for a 1,000-yard rusher from last year, and that might really open things up for Jace to have a huge year.
Well, the old adage that your running game opens up your passing game, you know, that's not as true anymore. We'll basically take what you give us. And, you know, we talked about that last season. If you're going to vacate the box and put five guys in, feel like we can run the ball, we'll go 5-on-5 in the blocking scheme, hand the ball off to Jace Kinnaman, and we'll let you go.
And Jake File is not he's not a bad backup.
Jake File would start for most programs. The kid is dynamic. He's a very good – we run a zone scheme up front, and that's a hard scheme for high school tailbacks to really understand. But Jacob is just so dynamic in the zone running scheme. He can set up blocks very well, and he's very explosive. So, yeah, you're right. You know, we have plenty of options.
You forget about that 1,000-yard rusher back there.
Right. You know, it's definitely a blessing to have all those guys. And again, we're just going to take what defenses give us, and you know, we'll take advantage of them that way.
August 31st, game number one, Salina South coming to town. When we had you in last time, we went through the schedule a little bit and the new playoff rules. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we want to sort of talk about what's happening between now, July 17th, and August 31st, and when practices start and all the dates, so that way everybody's really getting ready for first game day mode in week number one. We'll be back after this. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE. Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell, and McPherson High football coach Jace Pavlovich. We're getting close.
Yes, we are.
Steve and I are getting the itch.
Oh, yeah.
I know you're getting the itch. Yeah. You're getting your vacations out of the way in the summer.
Right.
And then you'll be able to fully lock it in when the calendar turns to August. What is the practice schedule? What are the Kansas rules for the first day that you guys can start practice?
Well, you know, first off, after July 14th, which was last Saturday, we have limited contact with them in terms of sport. Obviously, we're going to be in the weight room still 3 days a week, getting after it, making ourselves better athletically.
But and you not can't just, go out on the football field.
We can if we took five guys. That's all we could take out there is five guys. You can only take a certain percentage. But to be honest with you, you know, it's one of those things where we want the kids to be kids, and we want them in.
And they grinding. Probably need a little bit of a break.
They do. They've been stretched thin in multiple different sports, And we want them to be kids, you know, still getting in the weight room. You know, matter of fact, we have all athletes from all sports in the weight room getting better this summer. So we're going to finish strong in the weight room, give them a little break from sport, and then really start picking up in mid-August. So I believe it's the 13th
yeah.
is our first practice date. Now, with our practice dates, we haven't done two-a-days for last 2 years now. And it's something that Keisha has officially put in the rules this year, but we're ahead of the game. You know, to be honest with you, what we do in the summer and the preparation that our kids put in, we don't need two-a-days. Football,
it's changed.
It's changed. It's not like it's not like it was when we were playing. It doesn't need to be that way anymore. So we just do two and a half hour practice that first week, being helmets only for the first few days, get acclimated to the heat once again, and just hone in on our schemes. And you know, as much contact as we've had this summer with them, you know, yes, we're going to make mistakes, but we'll be ready to go come week one.
Hopefully the practice field will have some grass on it by then.
Yeah, that's been a little bit of a struggle, but
pump all that water on it.
Yeah,
I think you got plenty of water on it today.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, we struggle to mow it sometimes too, so we'll make sure we get that done. Sometimes on Sundays the coaching staff has to get out there and mow, but it's one of those things where you know, we're excited for the start of things, but we also want to just finish up this summer in a strong fashion. And you know, we have what, week and a half left of workouts, and then that next week we'll go into testing, test pro agility, test vertical, test their hang clean maxes, bench, squat, all those things. We have a new computer software program that we're able to track these kids. We're working with the elementary schools, Coach Sanbo. We're working with the elementary schools to get a 20-yard dash on a kid from their, and a pro agility and a vertical jump on a kid from the time they're a kindergartner until the time that they're a senior in high school.
Wow.
And just see the improvement in that. And it's really slick. We just input the data into this software, and it'll spit out a graph for every tested item that we have. And it's just really neat to see the improvement that
I can't
kids,
wait
all
to start tracking 6-year-old 40-yard dash times.
I can't wait.
We're not doing 40s. We're doing 20s. We're going
to
cut that.
I think they'd lose the attention span by 40. Yeah. They'd get to the 30-yard line and go, "Oh, a little flower over
yeah.
there."
Yeah, well, I know my own kids would, but yeah, you know, we're really
hang
excited.
Hang clean
just,
max on that 7-year-old. I'm excited.
That we will not be doing either. But yeah, you know, we just want to finish strong and get into that first practice week healthy.
Well, Coach Pav, we're excited. Steve and I are gearing up. I think he's got one last weekend of fun. Well, last weekend of vacation before the work year begins. I know you're deep into the work year, but we can't wait. It's right there.
And there's nothing like opening the year at home. I just think opening year on your home turf, that's exciting. Now, granted, last year, Bueller, that was an exciting place to open.
No matter
but
what.
But there's still nothing like opening the year at home.
Well, we love playing at home in front of our home crowd. I've said it multiple times. It's just a great environment and great atmosphere. And football, you know, across the board in McPherson, it's really exciting right now. I just had a meeting with youth football parents last night, and our numbers are up from second grade up to sixth grade.
Fantastic.
Our numbers are
That's
really
where it all
high.
Starts. The fundamentals. Learn the fundamentals.
And there's no question. And the kids have fun at that level and everything.
It helps
else,
to see those Friday night lights and the sounds like against Andale and against Bueller. Mm-hmm. When you see that and you're in elementary school, you go, "Yeah, I think I might want to put on that bullpup gear by the time I'm in high school."
That's usually the first thing we go to is say, "Hey, have you ever been to a game on a Friday night at home?" And if they say yes, then we ask them if they'd like to be out there. And that usually changes their opinion really quickly.
All right. Well, I don't know if we'll get you before August, but we're ready to go. Once that calendar hits August, I think you'll be hearing from Steve and I way too much.
Well, I look forward to it, and thanks, guys, for
all. So just put our emails in spam.
Yeah.
All right, we'll wrap up today's show. For McPherson I Head Football Coach Chase Pavlovich, for Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.